So in January of 2019, the Dutch Defense Safety Inspection Agency, that's a lot to say there, they launched an investigation about a F-16 fighter plane that was damaged. And this is what they found out. During a training exercise, there was a pilot that fired his Vulcan Gatling gun. That's quite the name, right? Vulcan Gatling gun. And these guns shoot 6,000 rounds per minute and travel at the speed of 3,450 feet. Now, at the same time that the pilot was shooting this gun, he also accelerated. And then, as they found out, he apparently was able to accelerate faster than what was coming out of the jet. And so he accelerated his plane right into the bullets that he was shooting. And it ended up colliding with the outside of the plane. It went into the side of the fuselage. It was ingested into the engine, and he had to make an emergency landing safely on the ground at the airbase. But it did injure the plane. Now, I'm guessing that many of us have, maybe none of us, have flown an F-16. Here you go. Look at me. I'm quite the pilot there. You didn't know, right? We may not have flown an F-16, but we've all done stuff like that in our life. We've essentially shot ourselves in the foot. And that's what Paul's going to be talking about in our passage tonight that we're going to be looking at, about what we do, not in our work, but what we do in our life, spiritually speaking, how what we can do on a day-to-day basis can sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot. And so let's go ahead now. Let me read the first verse of Galatians chapter 6, and first verse of our passage in verse 6. So Paul starts out by saying, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, this is not the main verse or the main point that Paul is getting across. This is more of an introduction to what he's going to be talking about in the next verse. But here in this verse, Paul is saying that those who are taught the scripture, so those people ought to give what the word he uses, ought to share all good things with the one who teaches the Bible to them. And that word, all good things, refers to material goods. And so it's helping the person that's teaching the Bible to them make a living, to survive. And so in other words, what he's basically saying there is pay your pastor. Pay your pastor. I love that verse. That is, I think we're just going to focus on that all. No. Because this is not the main point here. What he's getting at, we'll see in a moment here. His point is not on giving. But then let's turn to verse 7 and look at that. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So here's what Paul is getting across in this part of the passage. That we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. So what we do now in our life will determine what happens later on in our life. And so all that talk in the first verse that we looked at on supporting your pastor is more pointing to the fact that we should be investing in what is helping us grow spiritually. And since your pastor is hopefully helping you grow spiritually, then you should be sharing all good things with him. So not just though for your pastor's benefit, but as he's talking about reaping and sowing, he's saying it's for your benefit. So as you are investing in supporting the pastor so that he doesn't have to get a second job to go and support his family, but instead he can be preparing and studying the Word of God and then come up here, hopefully prepared every Sunday, and preach the Word to you and teach you and help you throughout the week. As you are supporting him with that, he is helping you grow spiritually. And so we're going to be spending the rest of the verse, or rest of the time as we go throughout the next few verses, on this idea of reaping and sowing. Because the idea of reaping and sowing is going to have a major impact on your life. Let me ask you, do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to be someone that in 1 year from now, you are a better person than you were a year before? And so do you want to be somewhere in 5 years or 10 years, somewhere further beyond than you were right now? It's possible. It's possible, but you have to be intentional about it now. So here's what I want you to see as we start talking about reaping and sowing. First of all, that where you are in 1 year or 5 years or 10 years will be dependent upon what you do now. When I was in college, I went on a mission trip to Africa, and the missions team and all of the mission teams that were getting ready to go to Africa went off for a week of training before we all went off to our various places, our various mission trips around the world. And they brought in this big mega church pastor to talk to us. And one of the things he said, I shared this with the morning service a year or two ago, but he said this. He said, where you are, or if you want to know where you will be in 5 years, then look at the friends that you hang out with and look at the books that you read. And so in other words, what you are investing your life in right now is going to determine where you will be in the future. Now, that stuck with me, and I really thought about that over the next couple years and everything, but the story doesn't end right there. That same guy that told me that then ended up in the news a few years later because he had gotten into some trouble. Apparently, that same pastor that told me that had been sneaking off to a nearby capital town and had been looking for places to buy drugs and then began paying for escorts, for male escorts to sleep with while he does the drugs. And then the male escort reached out to the news when he found out that the guy he was escorting to, or whatever the word is, I don't really know, but who he was with, he found out he was a mega church pastor, so he talked to the news, and now this thing exploded into a big news story about 10 or 15 years ago. Now I was thinking about this. Did that just happen? Did he just wake up one day and say, today is the day I'm going to go sleep with an escort? No. No, it likely began with just a little seed that he took and he began to sow into his life. And so maybe it was that impure thought. And then he began to dwell on it. And then he began to think about it more and actively engage. And then maybe that impure thought turned into impure actions, which then turned into impure longings and cravings for more, until he eventually one day ended up going to a nearby town and ending up with a prostitute. Again, Paul says in our passage, you will reap what you sow. And that pastor likely sowed impurity in his life. And so it's no wonder that years later, he reaped that impurity in his life as well. So if you will sow impurity in your life, that's what's going to happen. That's what you're going to reap. But if you will sow purity, if you will sow godliness, then the reverse is true, that you will begin to see godliness growing and reaping in your life. That's why Paul says in the next two verses in our passage, verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So again, your actions matter, he's saying. Not just in one area of like spiritually speaking, but in every area of your life, you have the choice. You're either going to sow godliness or you're going to sow godlessness in your life. Godliness or godlessness. I'm going to try to illustrate this here. I have here two pitchers. And I want you to think of these two different directions that you can go in life, two different areas of your life, the godliness area and the godlessness. And so when you think about that, you have the choice every day to sow into these pitchers. And so if you get up in the morning and you begin to maybe read the Bible or begin to do some godly activities, or here you are tonight, you made the decision to come to church. What you're doing is you're sowing into the godly side of your life. And you're sowing godliness in there. You're dropping it into the bucket here. But on the flip side, if you begin to engage in sin and godlessness and those types of activities, each time you do it, you're just beginning to drop them into the bucket. Now, maybe one time you're like, no one's going to know. It's not going to hurt anyone. And maybe you're right. No one ever knows. But then it leads to another one and another one and another one until you know, before you realize it, all of a sudden it's like beginning to fill up. And once it begins to fill up, it begins to overflow into your life. I'm not a very good aim here. There we go. One choice, one action may not make a huge impact, but over and over and over again, what you're doing is you are sowing into that area of your life. But again, the opposite. If you will make godly choices every day, you are just dropping them into the bucket. And then day after day after day, if you will begin to engage and pursue godly activities and all that, it just will also overflow into your life. And so will one prayer make a huge difference in your life? Maybe not. Maybe not one prayer, but it leads to the next prayer and the next, and it leads to other activities. And before you know it, it starts to pour out into your life, which does have an impact in there. All right. So we reap what we sow into our life. And that's why Paul is saying we need to be intentional in those last two verses, that we need to be intentional about doing good. Not for the sake of earning anything from God, but because that good leads to other good, and that good sows the godliness in your life, and it just begins to set you in the right direction. And so over time, it will reap a positive reward if you continue in these. Earlier this year, I was working on my sermon back when it was warmer, and it was on our outside little deck. And I was so sort of focused on it, and two of my younger kids were playing on the deck, and I should have known something was up, but they weren't fighting. They were actually getting along for a moment, and so I just sort of was typing away, and later on, I looked back, and I'm like, what in the world are you doing? And they had taken all of our cherry tomatoes off the vine. They weren't ready yet. And they told me that they had buried them in the dirt because they wanted to grow more cherry tomatoes. Now, I'm no farmer, but apparently that doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so what did we end up with that year with our salad? I can tell you it was nothing from our garden because they had plucked it all out and destroyed it by putting it in the soil. So let me ask you, what are you planting in your life? What are you planting in your life? Because the things that you plant in your life are what you are going to see in the months and years to come. Dawson Trotman, he was the founder of the Navigators, he said this. He said, you are going to be what you are now becoming. Think about that. You are going to be what you are now becoming. Or Randy Alcorn puts it this way. He says, who you become will be the cumulative result of the daily choices you make. So do you want to see where you'll be in the future? Look at what you're doing right now. Listen, you may be surprised in the future at what you end up becoming, but that's only because you're not paying attention to what's going on right now in your life. And so if you take a close look at your life, you will see what you will become. You will see what you will become. And this is so important for us to understand. So spiritual growth is not a mystical experience that we cannot understand. There is a clear path for spiritual growth. There's a clear path of growing in your relationship with God. Proverbs 4:18 says, the dawn of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. It's sort of like looking up at sunrise when the sun comes up, or in my case, sunset, because I'm not usually up that early. But if you're looking at the sunrise, people like looking at it because there's these differences in colors that just make the sky look beautiful as the sun begins to burst out of the darkness. And that's what the writer there is saying about spiritual growth. He's saying the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It is clear. It is known. We know where the light is. We know where the sunrise is coming from. And so there is a clear direction for how to grow spiritually. And so growing spiritually is not a matter of, I don't know, God, how to do this. It's a matter of looking in the right places to learn how to do it properly. And so there is an element of spiritual growth that's beyond our control, that God only controls. But God makes it very simple for us. Very simple for us, that there is a simple path, direction that we can go. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Timothy 4. He says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise of this, of the present life, and also for the life to come. And so it involves training. Training, train yourself to grow. Train yourself. And Paul's referring to what we call the spiritual disciplines. And so there's these things that we can do, simple things that we can do to grow spiritually. Simple things like reading the Bible, getting in the Bible, and then learning the Bible, and then applying what the Bible says into your own life. Things like prayer. Taking a few minutes and connecting with God and talking to God. That's a simple thing, the spiritual discipline you can do that will help you grow spiritually. Or evangelism, as you're sharing your faith with other people, you will not only be telling others about Jesus, but your faith is strengthened in the meantime. Or another one is simply attending church as you come on a weekly basis, or more than that, to hear the Word of God proclaimed to you. Hopefully that is helping you grow spiritually. And so there's a lot of other things, but it comes down to, will you intentionally do things to help you grow spiritually? And if you will, then you will begin to sow those into your life, and over time, you will grow if you make an effort at it. Randy Alcorn puts it this way. He says, you become like what you choose to behold. Behold Christ and you become Christ-like. Gaze upon superficiality and immorality, and it's equally predictable what you'll become. And so as we begin to think about growing and sowing into our life, I want to remind us that spiritual growth is not instantaneous, it's gradual. So bit by bit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." One degree. One degree. So a little bit at a time. One bit by one bit by one bit. And over time, you'll begin to see yourself grow spiritually. Think of your kids or kids you know. The kids that you see here are not going, look at that. Aren't I cute? I make cute babies. But if you see them every day, you don't notice that kids grow. But then you go away for a week or you don't see them for the summer. And then you come back and they've grown like a foot or grown out their beard totally like that. And likewise, spiritual growth is not like you're just here one day and then the next day way up here. Spiritual growth is bit by bit by bit by bit. And so to grow spiritually, it likewise involves just gradual steps and intentional steps to help you grow. And so your spiritual growth depends on small, what I'll call small daily decisions. Small daily decisions. Now, there are a lot of big decisions that you can make in your life. And there's a big decision to grow spiritually in terms of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. So when you become a Christian, that is a big decision. But after that, once you become a Christian, once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it is small decision after small decision. And that's going to impact your life and the direction of your life. And so it comes down to what you will sow into your life on a daily basis. Randy Alcorn says again, he says, "Most of us know the difference between eating cottage cheese and donuts, or the difference between daily workout and spending life on a couch. What I eat and whether I exercise will determine the state of my body. And the same is true with our spiritual lives. Whether I read scripture and great books or spend my best hours watching TV and looking at my phone will make me into the person I will be several years from now. I should discipline myself today, not for discipline's sake, but for the purpose of godliness." And so again, it's bit by bit. And that decision, and that starts with what you're going to decide today. What are you going to do later tonight? Are you going to turn to TV and just watch TV for the rest of the night? Or are you going to spend a moment in the Word of God? Are you going to wake up tomorrow morning early enough that you can spend some time in prayer? Or are you going to sleep in more or longer? When the next temptation hits, are you going to engage in that temptation? Or are you going to put a stop to it, making the decision to be intentionally godly? And so again, the choices that you make on a regular basis will determine your long-term direction. And so we need to be intentional about what we do on a daily, regular basis. I read an article about how last week a family outside of Fort Myers, Florida, they noticed a sinkhole in their yard. And they were left homeless because apparently Florida doesn't let people have sinkholes in their yard. I don't know why. And so they had to go find another place. But as I read about this more, I read that there are 17 sinkhole claims a day in Florida. I mean, it's a good thing we live up here in New Hampshire. All we have is snow. But here's what I want you to see as I read more about sinkholes. It seems like when we think of a sinkhole, we look at it, one day it's not there, and the next day, poof, it's there. But the reality is that sinkholes are taking a long time underneath to form. In fact, they erode over time. It's that gradual erosion that we don't see for a while, but it's not until later on when the top actually then collapses that we begin to notice for the first time what's going on. And so just like sinkholes, spiritual erosion in our lives is not often seen. We may not notice ourselves going in the wrong direction until things begin to collapse. And so, over time, if we're not careful, we're not even going to notice the eroding in our life. And so we must be intentional about not letting that erosion happen, because we reap what we sow into our life. Last week, I talked about the guy, the Zappos CEO. His name was Tony Hsieh. He died about a week ago. And I read more about why he died, because when I read it last week, I was like, how does a 46-year-old famous guy die so quickly? And it turns out that people that knew him were not very surprised at what happened. He apparently had a habit of getting high on nitrous oxide. So he was sniffing or inhaling or whatever you do with the whipped cream cans. The only thing I do with those is turn them upside down and spray them into my mouth to get the whipped cream. I have a good idea for tonight. Tony, on the other hand, was getting that fume out of that chemical out of there. And so he would get high off of that, but then he would also he was beginning to drink more and more and get drunk all the time. Next, people were saying that people that tried to help him, he would push away. And so we have this guy that's on the downward spiral, pushing away help, and one last thing, one little thing, ends up being his downfall, and that's candles. Candles. Apparently, he really liked candles, and near the end of his life, he was lighting upwards of 500 candles at a time. Candles in our house, fine. But candles in the house of a person who's drunk and passing out, not a good combination. And so what happened, what likely happened, was that he passed out drunk and high, and then something caught fire from one of the many candles around, and he lay there unconscious as the fire spread. And so by the time help arrived, he had inhaled too much smoke, and he died shortly after, the age of 46, millions of dollars. Now, this happened unexpectedly to us. But again, those who knew him were not surprised, because it was years of bad choice after bad choice, to use Paul's words. This guy, Tony, was reaping what he sowed into his life. And listen, if you are alive right now, it's not too late with the bad choices that you've made. And maybe you've been putting way too many things into your godlessness area of life. And maybe you've been sowing way too much into the bad parts of your life. And you can see in the future you are headed in the wrong direction. But that all can stop tonight. Tonight can begin to be the night where you begin to go on a different direction, in a different direction, and begin to go in the direction of spiritual growth and improving your life in that area, instead of going downward and downward instead. But it all began. What are you going to do with what you've heard tonight? What are you going to do? Are you going to sow it into your life and apply it and learn from it, or are you going to ignore it? So this is your chance to make that first step, that whatever you take out of this message, that if you sow it into your life, you will begin to grow and make the next intentional step and next intentional step. But it begins here, right now, with what you're going to do. Some of you are caught in sin and doing some things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And I want to encourage you tonight that as we, in just a little bit, wrap up the service and as we go upstairs and do the baptism and everything, I just want to encourage you, Leave and with the intentional mindset that you will walk away from your sin. And if you don't have the strength to do it, then turn to someone who can help you. Turn to me and ask me for help. Turn to another person that can help you and pray with you. Or turn to a counselor or a friend or your spouse or whoever it may be. And let them support you. But don't go and just do the norm that you've been doing. Because again, it's going to lead you down the path that you do not want to end up in the years to come. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll start to wrap up our service down here.